Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. Good morning, Valley Grove. It's great to be here with you on this wonderful Easter Sunday morning. I love Easter. It is one of my favorite times of the year. Spring's in the air. It's a time many of you plant gardens like I do, plant gardens. I remember as a kid growing up, Easter was always a great time. We'd always wake up, go to church on Sunday morning. We'd always come back, and my mom or grandma would have a wonderful dinner cooked, and then we'd have people over, and we'd hunt Easter eggs as kids and just have a great time spending the day with family and friends. I know this year is a little bit different because obviously we're not worshiping together in person. And I hope you're joining us virtually this morning. And I know we can't have big Easter egg hunts and Easter parties, but we can get through this together and we can worship Jesus just the same no matter where we are. So while we give everybody just a few more seconds to get on, I want to go over a couple quick reminders for the weeks ahead for life and ministry at Valley Grove. First, let me tell you that we're going to be worshiping virtually next week and probably the following week as well. So that'll be the last two Sundays of April. I just don't really see us being able to get back together, worshiping in person together either of those Sundays. I'm praying that we will be able to get back together early in May and be back to a normal pace of life, whatever that may look like. But definitely get back to worshiping together in person. I long for that day. I've missed you guys. It's been very different preaching into a video camera. I've missed the interaction with you guys, missing your faces. But thank you for being so active on Facebook and for being so active on our stuff at Valley Grove. I really do appreciate it. Hey, let me ask you to continue to pray for our VBS team as they're still trying to figure out what we're going to do about VBS this year. Like I said last week, VBS is a great it's a great time. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. I love seeing all the kids and adults come together. We always laugh, and sometimes we cry, and sometimes we want to pull our hair out. But we always have a great time sharing the love of Jesus with kids. And so it's just a wonderful time. So we're kind of still up in the air is what we're going to do. Just depends on how everything's going. So please pray for our team as they continue to make a decision about that. Let me give you one other update about next week. I'm super excited about what we're going to talk about next, our next series. We're going to be preaching through the book of Ruth. Ruth is a wonderful story. So if you haven't read the book of Ruth, let me encourage you to go ahead and do that this week. Read over it a couple times so that you'll be prepared for next Sunday as we venture into the book of Ruth. All right, well, with no further ado, let's go ahead and get started this morning. And we're going to read our Bible verse, our memory verse for the month of April. And it comes to us from Luke chapter 24, verses 5b through 6a. And what an appropriate Bible verse for this morning. Let's read it together. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Let's read it one more time. I love this verse. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Those were the words of the angel on that first Easter morning to the women who were looking to come to the tomb of Jesus. So over the last 4 weeks, for those of you who are just tuning in today, thank you. And for over the last 4 weeks that we've been together, we've been talking about this idea that Jesus is the one and only, that he answers life's most pressing questions, the questions surrounding origin, meaning, morality, and destiny. Over those weeks, we've seen that Jesus, he validates our origin. He provides meaning to our life. He affirms moral absolutes. He affirms that there is morality. And he secures our destiny. And as we saw last week, all those culminate in Jesus' death on the cross, where he takes away our sin and he gives us all of his good. And so last week we challenged you to make sure you've done that in your life, and I hope that you have. And we challenge those who already had to stay awake and to continue wisely preparing and using the talents, abilities, gifts, and skills that God's given us as people to prosper, to grow, and ultimately to further the kingdom of God. But let me tell you this, friends. If the cross, as wonderful and as magnificent and as meaningful and important as it is, and it is all of those things and more, as important as the cross is, if the cross was the end, you and I, we're in deep trouble. If Friday, when Jesus died, was the end of the story, my friends, we are in trouble. Today I want to read with you a very important passage about the resurrection of Jesus, about Easter and what it means and why it's so important, from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 deals with the resurrection of Jesus, but I only want to highlight just a few verses this morning, specifically verses 12 through about verse 22. So I'm going to read a big chunk of that right now, and then we'll come back and pick up a couple of those verses later. So if you've got your Bibles with you, whether it's your hard copy or on your tablet or on your phone, find 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to start reading in verse number 12. Here's what Paul says. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? So Paul poses a question. Now, listen to what he says next, because this is important. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead have not or are not been raised or rise again. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Now, I know Paul said a lot there, so I want to highlight just a couple important things that Paul says are true if Jesus did not rise from the grave. Listen to what he says. He says, number one, our preaching is in vain. So this message, this gospel of Jesus, it's in vain because it's not important. He said our faith is in vain because you and I, our faith is only as good as that which we place our faith in, right? So if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, we have our faith in the wrong person and in the wrong place. Thirdly, we're misrepresenting God because we're saying God did something that he actually never did, and that's a dangerous place to be. Fourth, Paul says that Christ is still in the grave. If the resurrection of the dead can't happen, then Christ is still in the grave. And lastly, we're still in our sins. And with all that being said, we are of all people on earth the most to be pitied because we have believed in a lie. That's what Paul says happens if Jesus stays in the tomb. But thankfully, that's not the case, because we're celebrating Easter today because Jesus did rise from the grave. And that is an amazing truth. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Why does Paul say this? Why does Paul say that the resurrection of Jesus is so important? And then if it doesn't happen, all of these things, our preaching, our faith, all of our sins, all of these are null and void. I mean, our preaching's in vain and our faith is in vain and our sins are still on us. Why does he say that? Why does he imply that if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, his death on the cross doesn't carry the meaning that we talked about last week? Well, that's because the resurrection of Jesus ties up three loose ends that only the resurrection can tie up. That's Jesus' predictions about his death and his resurrection. It validates that Jesus' death actually had meaning. And maybe most importantly, for us at least, the resurrection takes care of the effects of sin. So what I want to do this morning in our remaining time is I want to highlight these three loose ends that only the resurrection can take care of, that only the resurrection of Jesus, that only Jesus bursting forth out of the tomb can accomplish and tie up. And ultimately, it's why he has the ability to speak into our lives, into life's most pressing questions of origin, meaning, morality, and destiny. Because if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, he has no ability to speak into any of those things. And here's why. So the first question, or the first loose end that Jesus' resurrection, and only the resurrection, can tie, is Jesus' predictions. I went back this week and looked through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there are no less than six predictions that Jesus himself makes about his death, the manner of his death, and that he would rise again 3 days later. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the same three occurrences. And then John has three separate occurrences. Of those six, four are direct statements about his death and his resurrection. And then two in John are indirect. At one point in John, Jesus says that if I be lifted up, then I will draw all men to myself. And then John adds his footnote afterwards that says, basically, and I'm going to paraphrase it here, we didn't know it at the time, but when Jesus spoke that, he was speaking about the manner of his death. And so six times, indirectly or directly, Jesus mentions and predicts his death, burial, and resurrection. And as he said, his resurrection would take place 3 days later. Here's the thing, friends. If Jesus stays in the tomb, if Friday is the end, then what does that make Jesus? It makes him nothing more than a liar. I know that's blunt. I know that may be harsh, but that's the truth. Jesus is nothing more than a fraud if he stays in the tomb. If the cross is the end, Jesus' words cannot be trusted. But listen to Paul's words. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, so the next verse, he says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and he is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And earlier in chapter 15, the first few verses, Paul lists a myriad of people that Jesus appeared to after he had been raised from the dead. And so Paul states it as fact, and we know it as fact, historically, as fact, Jesus did rise from the grave. And since he rose from the grave, that means Jesus was right in what he predicted. Since Jesus rose from the grave, he's not a liar, but he is the Lord. Because see, you only have a couple of options about Jesus. He can be a liar, he can be a lunatic, or he can be a Lord. And I don't know of any other world religious leader who predicted his death, how he would die, and that 3 days later he would rise again, and then it actually happened. And so for me, Jesus deserves not just mad respect, but he deserves our trust, our dependency, and our faith, because he did what nobody else has been able to do. He rose from the grave. God rose him from the grave. That may be terrible English, but it is exactly what happened. And because Jesus rose from the grave, listen to me, friends, he validates his word. He validates his prediction. And therefore, you and I can place our undying, unflinching trust in Jesus' word. Because like I said, friend, he's the only person I know who predicted his death, how he was going to die, and that he would rise again. And then it happened. Right? And so the cross validates Jesus' word. So when Jesus says something, friends, you can take it to the bank. It is true, and it will happen. Secondly, not only does Jesus validate his prediction, he validates his word, but secondly, the resurrection proves that Jesus' death actually had real meaning for me and you. See, if the cross is the end, friends, and if Jesus stays in the tomb, and Friday is the end of the story, then Jesus' death doesn't really have any meaning and bearing for our life. However, since Jesus rose from the grave, we know that his life and his death was pleasing and acceptable to God, that he was an acceptable sacrifice for our sins, that he can truly take away your sins and my sins and give us his perfect righteousness. If Jesus stays in the tomb, none of that is true. And we might as well pack it up. We might as well go home. And we might not ever worry about church again. But my friends, Jesus didn't stay in the tomb. He rose up out of the tomb on the third day, on that first Easter Sunday morning, validating his death as having being a sufficient sacrifice for your sins and my sins. And that's why we can preach the whole message last week. And that's why we can talk about how Jesus secures our destiny. Because the resurrection proves that Jesus was an acceptable, amazing, unblemished, perfect sacrifice for our sins. And that he can take away our sins and give us all of his righteousness. But thirdly, there's one more thing. You ready? Thirdly, Jesus defeats the lasting effects of sin for us. See, listen, friends, the cross deals with the act of sin. It takes away our sins, past, present, and future. And as we said last week, Jesus gives us all of his righteousness. The resurrection, on the other hand, tackles a completely different problem and ties up a completely different loose end, and that's the effects of sin. James, the little brother of Jesus, I'm going to paraphrase this here. You can read it in James chapter 1, around verse 12 or 13 through 14, I think. But James, the little brother of Jesus, kind of lays out the lasting effects of sin. He says desire when it ensnares, when it entangles us, when it lures us away. The picture is there like when you hook a fish in the corner of your mouth and that lure drags it out of the water into your hand, right? And it's a monster, right? It's the biggest fish you've ever caught, right? That's the picture that I see when I read this passage in James 1. The little brother of Jesus says that desire, when it lures us away and we hold on to it and we keep it, it gives birth to sin. And sin, it's like a baby inside of us. It grows. And when it is conceived and when it is birthed in our life, listen to what James says. He's very blunt. He says, when it is birthed in our life, it brings forth death. See, friends, the lasting effects of sin are very simple. It's death, hell, and the grave. The cross deals with our sin. The resurrection deals with the lasting effects of our sin, death, hell, and the grave. And so when Jesus burst forth out of the tomb on that first Easter morning, he dealt with that which we couldn't deal with as well. He dealt with the lasting effects of sin in our life and on our life. And so now we can have confidence that we too, if we believe in him, not only are our sins taken away, and not only is his perfect righteousness given to us, but we can have trust and we can have faith that this life is not the end. That we too can meet Jesus when we die. We too have a life after this one, eternal life. And that we too can rise again just like Jesus did. I want to read you a verse from Paul again in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 and 22. Here's what Paul says. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. Listen to what he's saying. He's saying, just like we saw last week, where in Adam, all of us are born with a sin nature. So in Christ, all of us are made alive. All of us are made alive. And just as in Adam, all of us stay in the ground. When we're dead, and there's nothing we can do about it. So since Christ broke the curse of sin, he also broke the curse of the effects of sin. And so when he burst forth, he broke the yoke on us of death, hell, and the grave. And he defeated it on our behalf so that we can be victorious not only in this life, but in the life to come. I love the words of Jesus in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, that he speaks to the Apostle John in the first chapter. Listen to these words. This is Jesus speaking about himself. Jesus says, "Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I'm the beginning and I am the end. I'm no longer dead. I am alive. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of, listen to this, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Man, what an amazing verse. I love that verse because it wraps up everything we're talking about this morning. Jesus, he died, yes, but he's not still in the grave. You can go to his tomb, but it was where he was laid, past tense. He's not there anymore. You can go take a tour when we get back to travel and all that. You can go take a tour in Israel, in Jerusalem, of where Jesus was laid. But he ain't there no more. He's alive. And he has the keys to death and Hades. That means death has no hold over you. Hell, Hades, has no hold over you. If you believe in Jesus, you are free and free indeed in this life and in the life to come. Guess what? Muhammad can't say that. You can go to his grave. You know what? Buddha, he can't say that. And any other world religious leader that's ever lived, past, present, or future, cannot say what Jesus says. None of them died and are now alive forevermore. And none of them hold the keys to death and Hades. Only Jesus. So my friend, there is only one conclusion that we can draw this morning. And that it is firmly that Jesus is, in fact, the one and only. There is no other like him, and there will never be another one like him. That's why the apostles, after his resurrection, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, said there is no name, listen to me, no name under heaven by which we must be saved, by which people can call on him. There is no name. There's no name that you can create, that I can create. There's nothing that we can do on our own. There's nothing we can do in our own power, but it is only through the name of Jesus that our sins can be taken away and his perfect righteousness can be placed in our life and that we can have life today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Jesus is the one and only. So here's my question for you this morning, friend. What are you going to do about it? What decision are you going to make? Because you can't meet Jesus and be unchanged. Every person that Jesus comes in contact with, he changes. Has he changed your life? Has he moved you from death to life? Has he moved you into a victorious life today and in the future? If not, I can think of no greater day than today for that to happen. What a wonderful story it would be when the world is in chaos and everything seems up in the air and we can't even see each other except through a video screen. That if your story was that on that Easter Sunday, 2020, in the midst of a global pandemic, Jesus restored and redeemed your life. Man, what a wonderful story. And that can happen. All you have to do is ask him. All you have to do is ask him. Because see, Jesus is the only one and only. You don't need anyone else. The resurrection validates his word. It validates that his death has meaning for your life. And it validates that he's victorious. It gives him the ability to answer the question of origin, meaning, morality, and destiny. All this that we've looked at. So friend, you can go searching for the rest of your life. And you'll get a lot of different possibilities. But I'm going to go on and tell you, you'll never find anyone else like Jesus. And nobody else can do what Jesus can do for you in your life. And so today on this Easter Sunday, here's my challenge for you. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, If you've never asked Jesus to come in and take away all your sins and to give you all of His good, I'm going to encourage you to do that today. I can't see you, but I know that God knows where you are and who you are and what you're going through. You say, well, Pastor Travis, I don't know how to even ask Him. It's real simple. It's really simple. You just have to ask Him. You just have to say something as simple as, Jesus, I need you to come in and take away my sins. I know I'm not good enough. I need you to place all of your good inside of me. And Jesus, I need you to help me have victory in this life and eternal life in the future. Because I can't do this on my own. You know what? Something as simple as that is all you need to pray. You can make it your own. There's no special words. There's no special prayer. You just have to believe in Jesus. And He'll come in and radically, and I can tell you this from personal experience, transform your life. And what a wonderful life it is. So I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what you're going through this morning. But I can tell you, Jesus is the only one who can speak into your life, into the most pressing questions of your life. He's the only one that has the answers. And I hope that you'll turn to Him today. Hey friends, thank you for sticking around to the end of this video. I hope you've had a wonderful Easter, and I hope this made your Easter even a little bit better. Because truly, Easter is celebrated because Jesus rose from the grave. He's not there. He's alive forevermore. So I hope you continue to have a wonderful Easter. I don't know how you're going to celebrate Easter, but I hope you have a great time doing it. Maybe it's just you and your kids, and you're going to hunt Easter eggs. I hope they find every one of them. Don't be like it was at our house one year when we hunted Easter eggs. We did the real eggs, and we forgot one. And I was cutting grass about 2 weeks later, and yeah, you know what happened. I found it, and it smelled like a rotten egg, as you can imagine. Anyway, I hope you have a great rest of the Sunday morning. Hey, let me just tell you, thank you so much for tuning in every Sunday. There's a lot of other places you could be, and there's a lot of other things you could be doing. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much for sticking around for 20, 30, 40 minutes every Sunday morning to listen to me through a video. I truly appreciate it. I cannot stress enough how much I appreciate you tuning in and watching each and every one of these every week. It means the world to me. So thank you. Hey, don't forget, next week we'll be starting out a new series on the Book of Ruth. If you've never read the Book of Ruth, it is an amazing story, a family of law, of tragic loss, of hardship, of romance, and redemption, all wrapped up in one. And I can tell you, at the very end, there's a surprising ending that makes the story, to me, even so much more amazing and cool. So let me tell you to check out the Book of Ruth. You can Google it. You can download the YouVersion Bible app. Find it there. Read it this week. I promise you, it will be a great read. It's only 4 chapters, and so you can read it in one sitting really quick. So let me remind you to check that out. So anyway, hey, thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget that we'll be back at 11. Know that we love you at Valley Grove. I love you. And as always, impact your area of influence this week in whatever way you can as you move yourselves and others toward Christ. Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.